This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spears. He burns the chariots of fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Oh, Father, we want to honor you this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to bring you glory. We want to bring you praise. We know that without you, we are nothing. Right, before we get too comfortable. So there's a lot of things actually happening today, but one of the most remarkable things this morning is exactly 1 year ago, on the day, on the minute, myself and Malise were introduced to this church as the new pastors couple. And as everybody's been honoring and being thankful to God for what they've done, it brings me to a humble place as well to say, Lord, thank you for letting me walk in your calling. And what an amazing journey. We've met a lot of people. We've made a lot of good friends. And I hopefully know enemies. But you know what? God has been so faithful. And he's placed us on this journey. He's called us to this walk that we need to walk. And so often we forget what a privilege it is to be in the frontier. So I just want to really take this opportunity and thank God for this beautiful morning. Thank Jesus Christ for being my Lord and Savior. Thank you for keeping me in a place of humbleness, wrapping, or as we do with kids sometimes, you know, when they've had more than enough sweets or chippies and they extend their hand one more time and you just quickly hit them on the fingers just to make them know, listen, don't do it again. So I've had that quite a lot this year. And it keeps you humble. And two scriptures I just want to share with you that I really want you to also take to heart on how God moved with us in this time. Is the first one was in Psalm 8 verse 4, and I think he speaks about it in the Hebrews as well. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You know, that's such a deep verse for me. It's something that I sort of, in a sense, struggle every time that I think in a position that I am, where I'm standing this morning, just to humble me again. Who am I that you are mindful of me? And who is the son of man? Who am I that you care for me, Lord? And then one that I believe God really placed in my heart in the beginning of this year to continue this journey is Philippians 3 verse 12. And you see that Paul Buerta already started this morning with Philippians. My whole sermon is in Philippians. And the verse that God gave me is from Philippians as well, I believe. And it's Philippians 3 verse 12. And I've said it many times before, but I want you to really take it because you're going to hear it at least three or four times today.
It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. There's a deep, deep lesson and challenge for each of us in that. Is that, have you gone on in your calling, in your life as a Christian, to make the gospel of Christ Jesus your own? I don't always get it right. My wife don't always get it right. My children don't always get it right. People see the pastor in the front as this glorious thing sometimes to be, because you get to spend time with the Lord all day long and you get to read the Word of God all day long. It doesn't happen. If you have a church, you have to make time for this. So we don't always get it right. We're not perfect. We also live, just like you, in a fallen world where God basically challenges us with the same things. But that's what we do. We press forward daily, seeking the heart of God for us as a congregation, trying to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want people out there to see that day in and day out. But in this journey, I've discovered, and we've been brought to a place that allowed us to teach people and show people. And this discovery isn't a new one, isn't something that's this amazing light bulb that went on. It's just really what God placed in our hearts. And that's to continue serving. And through the way we're serving, allowing others to see Christ. Jesus, Paul, Timothy, they were all amazing examples of servants in the gospel. But Jesus was the greatest one of them all. And again, we are not perfect, and neither are you. But striving towards making it our own, just as Jesus made you and me personally his own when he died on the cross, we can continue to live Christ to a fallen world. And 2 weeks back, I started with Philippians 1, and I just want to quickly touch on that again this morning, just to bring forth sort of an introduction for the rest of this day, of the sermon. So the church of Philippi, and this is such an interesting part, how the church of Philippi happened. Paul and Silas were in a couple of towns, and they were kept quiet by the Holy Spirit. They weren't allowed to say anything. And then all of a sudden, one night, Paul receives this vision of a man standing in Macedonia saying to him, come and help us. And then Paul and Silas took this journey, and we take it up from Acts 16, from verse 13. He says, and on the Sabbath day, so basically what they did is they went obediently, they went to Macedonia, to the town called Philippi, and outside the gates on the Sabbath day, there was a group of women that prayed together. And Acts 13 reads, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate to the riverside, where we supposed it there was a place of prayer. So they didn't actually know, they just supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of, and I'm not going to say that word because I'm going to mess it up, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed in us. The church of Philippi started with one woman. one vision, one man calling Paul and Silas to this place. And this woman was a wealthy woman, but she was also a spiritual seeker, according to the commentaries. And the most amazing verse is the one of verse 14, which says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And then Paul and Silas eventually stirred some people in Philippi, because they told the woman to keep quiet, told the demon to go out. And that caused two businessmen who used this woman with what she was saying to make a lot of money. So their funds dried up. They reported Paul and Silas to the authorities, and Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. And then that night, the jail keeper came to Christ. So Lydia, one of her servants, her household, and the jail keeper and his household, all got saved in this initial time. And that's how the Church of Philippi started. And then Paul goes on to visit other churches, Ephesus, Galatians, and then he goes back and he says, okay, listen. Well, then he gets caught up in jail in Rome, and now he's writing letters to all the churches, encouraging them. But if you look at Corinthians, they're a bit of a troubled city. So they need to be, they get a different letter. But I like the letter of Philippians, because it's a joyful encouragement that Paul writes from. He receives this information from various sources, saying that, you know what, this church is doing well. And if you just take it back to the beginning of how this church started, it says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to the words that were spoken by Paul. An amazing piece of scripture. So the previous sermon, I highlighted 7 points of what it is to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ, based on Philippians 1, of what Paul wrote to the Philippians. And we're just going to quickly run through them, and I'm going to spend a long time on it, because I want to get to the second part this morning. It says, walking worthy is being a servant of and in Christ, in Philippians 1, verse 1. The second thing is being in partnership with one another in the body of Christ, Philippians 1, verse 5. Walking worthy requires us to walk in faith. 1 verse 6 requires a choice for Christ, no matter the circumstances. It is being content in the person who Christ is. Philippians 1 verse 21. And then living your salvation in Christ. Philippians 1 verse 27. And the last point, suffering with joy for the faith we have in Christ. And I think a very good example of that this morning is Israel Folau, one of the rugby players of the Australian rugby team. It's currently facing banishment from a career in rugby because he uttered what the Bible has already been saying for 2,000 years. The Word of God has already been saying that. But he's suffering with joy. He's accepting what's been given to him. And that's not part of the sermon, so I'm not going to go on to that. But I just want you to know that suffering with joy for the faith we have in Christ. But you see, for these 7 points in the letter, Paul had to get it somewhere. He had to have some form of example of what it took to walk worthy of the gospel. The gospel, of course, is the life of Jesus Christ. Each one of us knows that. And then he goes on in chapter 2, and he writes this amazing amazing piece of scripture. And that's where I want to get stuck today. From verse 1 to 11 in Philippians 2. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to that and keep it there. We're going to read a lot from it tonight, today. We're going to base all 5 points of what it is, or what the example of Christ's humility looks like. But today, we shouldn't just read it. The main point is we shouldn't just read it. This needs to be a heart thing. It needs to be something that we don't just see or hear, but we take note, we take action, and we make it our own. And the reason for that is if it just remains something that we hear, it's something that we forget. But if we start living it, if we start acting out on it, it becomes our lifestyle. And that is what I believe Christ came to do for us. See, it's easier to say that I'm a believer than to live as a believer in Christ. If you are placed in a situation this morning or today, during this week, at work, or wherever you are, and you have to make a choice in terms of defending someone, but you know they didn't do anything wrong, but there's so much pressure on you that, and I'm just using this as a simple example, I think there's many more, but you have to make a choice now, because this choice determines that if this guy or person gets fired from his job, though he didn't really do anything wrong, but you might get that opportunity, you might get the bigger job, you might get the promotion. And while sitting here, it's easier for us to say and to make that choice. Say, yes, no, I'll stand for him and I'll stand in faith. But the moment that you have to carry the weight of 5 or 10 cement bags because of the situation, and you are in the situation, what will your actual choice be? It will be a different story. And that's where we're going to read together, because I want to show you an example of what it is to carry 5 or 10 or 50 or 100 or 1,000. It's immeasurable amounts of cement bags on your back. It's basically the weight of the world. So let's read Philippians 2, verse 1 to 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Paul writes this from within the prison. He's sitting in a deep ditch, the key, in a sense, being thrown away. And the church of Philippi is still supporting him. And that enables him to write this letter. So this whole letter in Philippi is a letter of encouragement and joy. Because he uses in the second word of the first verse, he says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ. Which means the word if is basically just at a place of saying, hey, I just want you to reflect. if you are missing any of these, encouragement, the same love, the same mind, sympathy, then just reflect on that, because they are still realities of Christ. And as a church, you need to have them in your church. And that letter is still, we still need to read it daily. We still need to read it if there is any encouragement. So what are we reflecting on a weekly or on a daily or on a hourly basis, in a sense, when we think of ourselves inside the world? As a congregation, we also and continuously need to reflect on the same, to make sure that we are in the same mind, that we have the same affection for one another. And that as a church, we share the same love in Christ Jesus. See, and that's the reason why we do intercession together on a Thursday morning. To be of the same mind, in the same love of Jesus Christ. To continue to pray that God will touch the heart of people to hear the message of the gospel, so that we can continue our church. We can advance the gospel. And as Philippians 1 says, that we strive side by side to advance the gospel. Romans 15 verse 30, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me. And I put in brackets there the word us, because there's not a me or a I. There's a us. We are together. Strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Continuously calling the church, Philippi, Rome, Galatians, Corinthians, to continue to pray with him for the unity that we have in Christ. He encourages fellowship of the Holy Spirit among us in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. You see, in our diverse and rich culture that we have, we are encouraged, just as the Philippians, to use our gifts in an agreeable, cooperative spirit with a focus of the glory of God. You see, Christ's example of humility started with him being in the same mind and spirit with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. They shared the same love. So the number one point this morning, and that's where we're going to start, to set the example of the humbleness or the humility of Christ, the example of Christ's humility, is the first one is relationship. And we have it up, think up there. Yeah. Yes. So I set the relationship with and through Christ to one another. So first we need to have our relationship with Christ so that we can get in the same mind, in the same love, same affection, same encouragement with him. And then we have the relationship with one another to be in the same mind, to have the same encouragement, to share the same affection. So the first point is relationship. And to go on to the second point, Paul mentions in 1 Philippians 17, he says that certain people preach Christ from envy and rivalry. And that's in effect self-ambition, selfish ambition, looking to advance their own agenda. You see, Christ, we're here for you and me. Not for his own agenda. The love that the Father has for Jesus Christ, the love that they share in between us, they don't want to keep for themselves. it could very easily have been in a place where they could have kept that comfortable seat up there. But God chose to give His one and only Son so that you and me can be saved. He did that for us. So in the second chapter, verse 3, Paul uses the word conceit, which literally means vainglory. He warns the Galatian congregation in Galatians 5, verse 26, he says, not to become full of conceit, envying one another, or even provoking one another. So the example that Christ set is not one of envy, not one to provoke people, but it was rather to counter that which already was evident in the world back then and still is today. And that is to count others more significant than himself, and thus setting the example to us as believers. But in humility, count others more significant than yourself. And Romans 12 verse 10 says, outdo one another in showing honor. When last did you read that? To outdo the person next to you in showing him honor. Our pastor, Hercules Opperman from London, he shared with us one day, he was in Worcester and he pastored the church there. And in that, he was asked to go back to head office, and from head office he was sent somewhere. But it was after a five-year journey. And he was sort of, in a sense, wasn't too happy about it, because he built up this church and he allowed it to grow into a good congregation, obviously with the help of the Lord. So don't get that wrong. He didn't do that out of selfish ambition or conceit or provoking or envying. But what happened was, God revealed to him something spectacular. And that still stuck with me today, because what he said to him was the following. He says, you will not be the top man in this church. The reason being is, I want you to train the next person to be better than you. Wow. And that's been one of my things ever since. Allowing God to use me to train the person next to me, not to be deceitful or have envy that this person might take an opportunity to serve better than I do from the pulpit, but really to excel from that place and say, Lord, if there is anyone better, use him. Let him come and stand in my place. But use me for the will that you have in my life. What are you doing in your workplace that outdo the person next to you in showing him honor? And that's the second point today. First point is relationship. The second point, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Look not to your own interest, but to those around you. Paul continues in verse 5, and we as Christians need to reflect the proper model to the ultimate example, namely Christ himself. If we say that we are for Christ, we need to have the same mindset of Christ. But the thing is, we aren't Christ. So it proves very difficult to do that. But it remains a choice, and you know, and in writing this, I believe Paul wrote what the Holy Spirit revealed to him, what Christ said in the beginning. It's necessary that I go away so that my Spirit can come after me to bring to remembrance the things that I've taught you. And when Paul wrote, in humility count others more significant than yourselves, I believe the Spirit made known to him what Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30 says. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amazing what the Holy Spirit can bring to remembrance if we just allow Him. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. The second thing. But before we continue to point number three, verse 6 reads, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. See, before Christ was born as a human, he was God. He was the form of God. And the Greek word for that was morphetheo, possessing all the characteristics and qualities of God the Father. Therefore, he had equality with God. Isatheu. But we need to understand that the Son of God is and has always been God. And Christ did not imagine that having this equality should lead him to hold on to his privileges on the earth. He knew and he counted the cost of what had to be done. But why did he do it? Why did he do it? It's not something for us to grasp. It's not something of why would God send his Son to the earth. It's not even for Christ himself to be exploited, to be grasped. And that's what Paul writes here. It says, with God a thing to be grasped. He came for you and me, and he counted our interest more significant than his own. And we must understand that it is because of the relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit that he understood what needed to be done for you and me to be saved. So the thing is, we shouldn't try to grasp what happened here. We should believe it. We should continue with a mindset of what needs to be done for Christ. Our attitude needs to change. When we say we are Christians, what are we doing about it? We go on to point three. And point three says, emptying yourselves from our own status and privilege. From who we are to let Christ be. I didn't put that there. But taking on the form of a servant to those around us. Now, emptying yourself from our status or privilege might sound harsh. It might be at a place of saying, oh, Lord, now I've got to give up my nice big house in Kleine Cooper or in Windhoek somewhere or sell the farm and do all these things so that I can go live on the street and just serve the people there because that's what's giving up the privilege and the status in my life. Absolutely not. But we need to count the cost. We need to understand what Christ did and the example that he set for that. You see, when Paul described what Christ did for us, he wasn't saying that Christ became less than God or gave up some divine attributes. He's not even commenting on that, whether Jesus was omnipotent and the whole holy thing of Christ. He's just stressing that Christ had all the privileges that were rightly his as king. But he gave that up for you and me. He gave that up, emptying himself to become this Jewish baby boy bound to the cross. His love drove him to a position of weakness for the sake of sinful mankind. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for the sake he became poor, that you by his poverty might become rich. And I believe Paul was showing us is for us to evaluate our surroundings and reevaluate our lifestyle. Is it easy for you to let go of certain things and make way for the gospel to others in your life. Don't let your blessings become your idol. And we go on to point number 4 this morning. So first 3 points is relationship. Setting others in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Point 3 is emptying yourself from your status and your privilege. Allowing God to fill the areas of your life that needs to speak to other people. And in point number 4 is being obedient to the call of Christ in our lives. A very broad term is used these days, is a calling on a Christian's life. See, I've been called into full-time ministry. I had to give up, count the cost, and give up the privilege of working in this full-time working in the secular world. But that's my calling. That's the cost that I counted. And that's what I do. But each one of us, the moment that you become a born-again Christian, you have a calling in life. You cannot sit here this morning and tell me that you do not have a calling in life. Because if you do not know what it is, then you need to start praying about it. And ask God, what is it that you have to do? Because each one of us are called. Matthew 28:19, I can recite it again and again and again. But the moment we become born again, we have to make the gospel of Christ our own. We have to make it our own so that we can live it from that place. And that requires a sense of obedience. Obedience to the calling that Christ called you. Christ didn't just make a choice to let go of all his privileges so that he can come and die on a cross for nothing. He did that so that you and I can receive the gift, the grace of God, of eternal life. If it wasn't for Jesus' obedience, we would all be facing the pits of hell. Whether you think it's harsh to say it or not, it's the truth. Because God sent his only Son to make a way so that you and me can be saved. And only through the cross, through Jesus Christ, can we be made righteous before the Father. God cannot help who he is. He's a righteous God. The flame cannot help what the flame is. If the moth comes to the flame, he's going to burn. But by the grace of God, by the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are able to go to the Father. You see, crucifixion wasn't a convenient way of execution. It was the ultimate indignity, a public statement by Rome that the crucified one was beyond contempt. No other form of death, no matter how prolonged or physically agonizing, could match crucifixion as an absolute destruction of a person. That's what Christ did for us. It was the ultimate counterpoint to the divine majesty of his pre-existence as King, as God, and thus the ultimate expression of Christ's obedience to the Father. He took that obedience, gave up his privileges, and said to the point of death, I will come and save you because I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And a question here this morning again is, what does your obedience look like to the Father? You may ask then, what is the example that Christ set before us in this obedience? What is this obedience and the example Christ set before us leads to? What does it lead to? If I'm obedient to Christ, what is it going to bring me? And this is it. And then we go on to the fifth point this morning is, therefore God has highly exalted him, verse 9, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we live in obedience with Christ, he will exalt us and glorify us. And the fifth point this morning is, humiliation in Christ leads to exaltation with the Father. If we live the full humiliation of Christ, by being in relationship with one another, by counting others more significant than yourselves, emptying ourselves on the cross and our status from our status and privileges, being content or obedient to the call of Christ. The ultimate humiliation, or the humiliation that we face, will lead to exaltation with the Father in heaven. It's for the sake of Christ that we do it. See, the example of his humiliation became the grounds for his exaltation. Out of love for you and me, he demonstrated that he truly shares the divine nature of God, who is love. Love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the love they have for us compelled them to take action. To take action for you and me. Because without that, we would be doomed for death. What brings us together today? And we're going to start ending off, Clarence, if you want to come to the front. See, what brings us together today? It's our faith in Christ. You are here today, maybe because somebody invited you, but ultimately, because it's our faith in Christ that brings us together. Knowing that the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus we bow every knee, we confess with our tongues that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And in order to go to the Father, we need to go through Christ. We confess here today that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. And the example set by Christ needs to be our way of living. Our encouragement to those that have not heard the gospel, to those who hear and do not listen, to those who have eyes but do not see. Because let's face it, there's a lot of people out there. And even sometimes we ourselves need to reflect and reevaluate our own life and our own circumstances to ensure that we are still humble before Christ. That our eyes still see and our ears still hears. And our heart still beats for the glory of God. Christ is in us, and he made his dwelling place in our hearts. How do we demonstrate that to the world out there? We need to believe so that the world can believe. We need to trust and pray that God will open the hearts of those around us to hear the gospel and believe. Just as he did with Lydia. We need to continuously pray without ceasing for those around us. Have you greeted your neighbor this morning? Maybe if you saw him, I saw my neighbor. He was sweeping his pavement. And I realized, Lord, you've got this person on your heart as well. You had me on your heart and you chose me. You opened my heart. Father, please open his heart so that he is able to hear the gospel. And he is able to hear the message that by us as Christians, as believers, serving with the humbleness, the humility of Christ, that people can come to Christ. Do we understand that the point of death in our lives, if we do not have Christ, is hell? There's no easy or sugar-coated way to say it. If you don't believe, you go to hell. But God made a way for us. He said he sent his Son. And if you are sitting here and you've accepted that, if you've accepted Christ in your life, you are okay. But you need to speak it to the world out there, because otherwise it remains a selfish ambition. You just did it for yourself. We need to ask this morning, how serious are we about the gospel of Christ? How serious do we take the example that we read today in Philippians 2? And are we reading this passage of Scripture here today just by and not making it our own? Are people looking at you and seeing the change that Christ brought in your life? Or do you have a fear of man? Are you afraid what people are going to say about it? What has the example you see in Christ laid before you inspire you to do and be? Where do you need to change? Start serving and start living. Why are you here today? Is it for Christ? Or is it your selfish ambitions? Are you in it for you, just for yourself? And I want you to reflect on that now as we bow our heads and we close our eyes. See, God uses so many ways, different ways to get our attention sometimes. Sometimes He shakes our world. He brings it down into little pieces in order for us to get the message, to get so that He can get our attention. And if certain things in life, in your Christian life, in the way that you believe, make you uncomfortable to spread it, to share it with the world out there, to live it out there, just bring it before God this morning. Let's take a minute and bring it before God. Father, we thank You this morning for an example set by You, Lord God, that is something that cannot be grasped. But Lord, You set that example so that we do not have to grasp it, but we should just believe it. And Father, I pray that our hearts will be open to receive this morning. Our hearts will be open, Lord God, that we can call to action the things that we've heard this morning. To build on the relationship with people around us, Lord God. To count others more significant than ourselves. To empty ourselves from our comforts. And Lord God, to search and seek the service of Your heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, to be in obedience in our call as a Christian, as a believer, Lord God, to be faithful in our obedience, Lord God. And Lord God, to take this all together so that one day, Lord Jesus, we can stand in front of You, exalted above the earth, confessing that You are Christ the Lord. You are the way, the truth, the life. And that through You, we have access to the Father. Lord, I pray here this morning that where we struggle, where we have issues in our hearts, Lord Jesus, that You will continue to stir it in our hearts, that You will continue, Lord God, to bring to remembrance the things that You have taught us. We honor You and we glorify You this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.